The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's a great Monday. Thanks for being with us. Rich Rodriguez on today's show. It's always good to catch up with Rich Rod, especially after the University of Arizona got absolutely annihilated by Arizona State. I want to hear what Rich Rod's view was. His son is on that team, or was on that team. U of A's game against Cal this week was canceled, so their season is over. Rich Rod still lives in Tucson. He has his own podcast. What happened in the Kevin Sumlin regime? Why was that such a bad hire? And does Rich Rod want to get back into the head coaching game? So Rich Rodriguez comes up here in about 8 to 10 minutes. I've got plenty of time today because watching the Cardinals yesterday was felt good for Hassan Reddick. The Arizona State basketball win against GCU, I've got some thoughts on that. The Cleveland Indians dropping their name, got some thoughts on that. And overall, it was just a darn good weekend of stuff. The high school football playoffs took place. I am in quarantine. Just full disclosure as we sit here, been in quarantine since Thursday. Yeah. So I don't have the virus, but a family member does. And so when that happens, we are responsible. We don't just walk around and pretend like, oh, there's nothing going on here. No, there's people dying, hundreds of thousands of them. And it's not just a flu. Okay. So I'm in quarantine. So I've had plenty of time to sit here in my humble abode and decorate the tree and do whatever. So we had plenty to watch. I sat here all Friday night and took in the U of A game and some of the high school games Saturday, a lot of the college and the Hamilton against Chandler game. Actually watched the Hamilton against Chandler game. This is where we are in 2020. There was a parent who live streamed on Facebook Live the Hamilton Chandler game. And I watched that because it was 100 times more entertaining. And I just don't believe in pay-per-view. I don't. There's no reason for that at high school level. That's just a money grab. And so I watched it for free with hundreds of other people. And it was really interesting. Our site, because we have a partnership with Chandler School District, we had over 3,000 people that came into the site just to watch the game. And I never promoted it. It's just they know. So, you know, when you guys try to take things and not broadcast the games live, you know, it's 2020. Catch up. Just don't grab the money. All right, opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. I was at Desert Financial Credit Union just about a week ago, over by Santan Village. And very nice people, masked up, walked in, took care of my transactions, made some deposits, moved some things around. I was in, I was out within, I don't know, 10 minutes. And very friendly people. Is there anything else I can do for you, sir? Little crack of a joke about how nice the day was. It was a pleasant experience. Desert Financial Credit Union, stop on in and see for yourself. The Cardinal game yesterday is the lead because it's the most recent thing that's happened. But I felt like what happened Friday night had seismic shifts around them. The University of Arizona bottomed out. Today, give me a worse job in college football than the University of Arizona. And I would say, no. If you talk about Power Five football programs, give me a worse job today than the University of Arizona. And I didn't go to ASU. I have to keep telling people that because they're like, wow, whenever you rip on U of A, it just sounds like you're a Sun Devil. I didn't go to ASU either. I taught some classes there in Cronkite, but, you know, I just look at the big, broad picture. So how did we get here? I'll go deeper with Rich Rodriguez in a few minutes about that. But from my point of view, Kevin Sumlin from day one didn't care. He didn't care. And people will say, well, how can you say that? That's a pretty bold accusation. I was in Tucson a couple years back with Eric. We were down there doing a piece. On Aaron Rodgers, the Packers quarterback, was down there in a celebrity golf tournament, and Kevin was there. And he came up, and I talked with him afterwards, and I mentioned a few players and some things, and I just got a vibe of, yeah, okay, whatever. He closed off practices to media. Media gets all upset about that. Coaches don't want people to see what's going on. It's very standoffish. But here's where I know that I'm right on this about Kevin Sumlin. So when Rich Rodriguez was in his final year in Tucson, the season ticket total, from what I was told internally at the University of Arizona, was north of 25,000. I was told internally this year in July? Yeah, it was July. 9,000. I know it's pandemic, but people just didn't care. They just didn't care. Like, the buzz around U of A women's basketball is greater than Sean Miller's team and the football team right now. It just is. And there's many, many reasons for that. So why is it that this job is one that just keeps coming open? Is it because the president likes to try to hit big home runs? I mean, if you were to look back at the University of Arizona and where the program is, Maccovic ran it completely into the ground. It's right there, maybe even a lower grade now that Kevin Sumlin has done his damage and moved on. It really is. Because let's be honest, Rich Rodriguez had this thing almost to a point. Almost to a point where it was going to be a competitive brand within the Pac-12. I think they actually were a competitive brand. He went to what, 4 bowl games in 5 years? The ASU U of A game was competitive. You could even look at the 1 year that U of A blew out ASU. And I think it was 2016. And so when I hear all this stuff, I actually tell Sun Devil fans, you probably should be crying that Kevin Sumlin left. But the president down there, for some reason, wants to hit home runs, wants to hire big names. And I don't get why he wants to do that. When Mike Stoops came in, and Mike Stoops had a lot of qualities that I didn't care much for in terms of sideline demeanor and acting like a petulant child. But Mike Stoops got the culture changed in the right direction after Maccovic ran it into the ground. Nobody can deny that. Even the most ardent Sun Devil fan can't deny that. And so he leaves. Rich comes in. And it took some time. It did. But I felt like he continued to slowly get it going in the right direction. And then someone comes in and runs it completely down to the ground, where there's not a worse job to walk into right now. There just isn't. And so where do they go from here? I want to talk to Rich about that here in a few minutes. On the Cardinal front, Hassan Reddick was someone that Steve Keim was constantly ripped and criticized for, and rightly so. It is a business of what have you done for me lately. Fans don't want to hear about players having to go through multiple defensive coordinators and multiple change in positions. But in the face of the space of Hassan Reddick, that's a fact. He's going to be a free agent at the end of this year because the Cardinals on the option said no. So take that for what it's worth. Now there's going to be people saying, how could they do this? Because he wasn't playing well. And so yesterday, yeah, the Giants stink. Like the NFC East, I know they were trying to build up in the broadcast yesterday about, well, you see what's going on in the NFC East the last few weeks. They have the best league, the best record within the NFL in the last 3 weeks. I get it. The PR staff is working overtime to find something, anything positive, but the Giants are not good. And so for the Cardinals to go back there and win, the wise guys in Vegas had the Cardinals as a 2-point favorite. They did more than that and then some. And everything went their way yesterday. Everything went their way. Hopkins got the football thrown to him. Kyler got beat on a little bit, but he made some plays, kept plays alive, did some Kyler Murray stuff. They didn't miss a field goal because Nugent was really good yesterday. Defensively, there was not a chance for the Giants in that game. And so now everybody's excited today. Of course they are. This is how it works in Arizona. 1 week you're down, 1 week you're up. So now they have Philadelphia, and Philadelphia, I'm really intrigued. How can you not be intrigued by Jalen Hurts against Kyler Murray? How does that not get you moved and revved up a little bit? That's going to be terrific stuff this coming Sunday. And then you look at the rest of the division and the schedule, I should say. So now it's down to Philadelphia, and you have the 49ers, and you have the Rams. For the Cardinals, are all three of those games winnable? You could say that. I think the Rams are peaking at the right time, but you can't lose. You can't lose probably two of those three games. If you go 2-1, you've got a shot. If you don't go 2-1, you're not going to have a shot. Things are just too close. All right, Rich Rodriguez on the other side on his view. What happened on Friday? Where does the U of A go to find their next head football coach? And maybe he's interested. I don't know. We'll talk with Rich Rod. That's next. As promised, he is the founder, co-host of Hard Edge Football. He's the former University of Arizona Wildcat head football coach, Rich Rodriguez, who joins us via Zoom on a Monday after I thought of you about the middle of the second quarter on Friday. Like, what is going on here? And so it's good to see you. I'm glad the podcast is going well, but I want to go back to Friday.
All right.
I've never seen anything like it. And your son is on that sideline too. So I know that this conversation, we can only go so far on it, but right. I'm just curious, what did you see on Friday? Have you ever been a part of something like that?
Well, I think there's always, I think you have games maybe throughout your coaching career where just everything that could go wrong and went wrong. And you like to know that it's not going to happen again or happen before that, but you could just sense it in that game right from the start. It's like, oh my gosh, this is not going well. And then there was no energy, no enthusiasm. Again, there's no fans there, so you got to generate your own. But it was just a nightmare. And for me, watching it, because I know some of the kids, of course, Rhett's on the team, some of the upperclassmen, it was just sad. It was sad to watch where it went, where the program went. And obviously it cost some guys their jobs. Not just that game, but the result and everything that led up to it.
From your lens, when you see an opening kickoff and nobody even touches him, are you just sitting there saying, this game's over?
Well, right from there, you're thinking, okay, ASU came ready to play. You know, maybe they can bounce back. But it was just, it was just ugly from the get-go.
When you're on that sideline where you're the one that is putting the beating on somebody, because you've dished it out. Sometimes you're the bug, sometimes you're the windshield, I like to say. Yeah. When you're in Herm's spot, where do you go in terms of, I got to get everybody in? It is a rivalry game, because he was getting his guys in third quarter. I started seeing guys. How do you manage that without insulting the other sideline?
I read where he was talking about on the sidelines. He was trying to get guys to quit smiling and kind of like laughing or whatever. Not at Arizona, but just kind of enjoying themselves with that. And that was kind of interesting take. And I would be the same way. You want guys to stay focused more on the task at hand as important. I always had a thing is that you never look at the scoreboard. And then after 60 minutes, you look up and see what happened. And if you get scoreboard watching too soon, it'll hurt your team. Plus they'll lose their focus. So I'm sure that's what he was doing the whole game. But and I don't think anybody, there's sometimes they say coaches, well, they're trying to run up. They weren't trying to run it up. They was just, there were so many bad things happening for U of A that they couldn't stop it. And Herm's team just kept playing well.
Rich Rodriguez with us, his podcast, Hard Edge Football Podcast. Check it out. He does it every week with his daughter. It is terrific content inside and out of college football. Okay, so you're sitting here today visiting with me a few years removed from U of A. The program has bottomed out from my view. Jump in and correct me if I'm wrong on any of this. Rich, that job has now turned into one of the most difficult places in all of college football in the Power Five conferences. What has happened since you left?
Well, it's first off, Arizona, Tucson's a great place. U of A is a great university. But it's not an easy job. It's not the most difficult job, but it's not an easy job. You know, location and other factors make it a little bit more difficult than maybe some brand name schools would have you. But you can win there. The facilities have gotten better. My second year, we moved into the new football facility. They just moved into the beautiful, just had a beautiful new indoor building built, which I thought was the last missing piece that we needed. And that was just built thanks to my friend Cole Davis that gave him a lot of money. And that's right there on campus. So they've got their facilities. They've got a great town, a great school, but you got to work at it. And I think one of the things you have to do as a coach and as a staff is for your players, you have to make it really, really important. Not that football is not important in the community or to the school, it is, but there's not the same sense of importance when they walk outside the football facility as there would be, say, at Ohio State or Alabama or USC or some of those brand name places. So as a staff, you got to overemphasize the importance of working hard, doing the right things, practicing all the right things to do to win championships. And if you do that as a staff and your players have that mindset, then you have a chance to win. I thought we, you know, we had one bad year in six. We didn't even went to 5 out of 6 years. We went to bowl games in the one bad year. But we thought when we left in 17 that there were a lot of – all the skill guys were back, six freshmen starting on defense. And we were going to take another leap, a big leap, and be okay. And we didn't get that opportunity, which obviously I'm still upset about.
Yeah. Because I look at it and say when you were there – and you were very welcoming to media. You were visible to fans. You were visible to recruits within state. Your season ticket base at U of A when you were there was north of 25,000, from my understanding. My understanding now it's below 10,000. So I know losing, I know basketball, I get all of that stuff. But it feels like Kevin didn't do any of that while he was there. So turning the page and looking for the next person to come in, what is it going to take? Because it's been set back since you left. There's no denying that.
Yeah, I think that, you know, you got to re-energize the fan base. You got to have an exciting style of football. I think you got to have a staff that works, get the interest back in the community. Because, again, Tucson's a great place. And this is, I think more now than ever, there are a lot of people moving to Arizona, moving to Phoenix, Scottsdale, moving to Tucson because of the weather and the the beauty of the state. So you got to capture that, and then you got to work like crazy on not only on recruiting, which is obviously the lifeblood, but on the transfer portal, making sure your good players don't get in it. Yep. And the good players you can get to help you immediately, you do that. And then just kind of start from scratch. It's going to be more of a work, particularly if somebody comes in that doesn't know the problems that they have or can fix the issues that they have. It's going to take a couple years to rebuild that. And, I have some of my own thoughts about that, but I do think, if there's enough positives at the U of A, there's enough positives in Tucson that you can win. And to take the step to win big, I think they got to get the right people in there.
Well, and from my point of view, and correct me on this one too, in this day and age, you're a CEO, not that you weren't back and when you were there, but a head coach has now got to be the guy that can go sit with boosters. You mentioned a donor earlier. He's got to be someone that goes in front of cameras and doesn't close off practice and doesn't push away high school coaches around the state of Arizona. All those things have happened, from my understanding, in visiting with the high school coaches in particular. So that next person's got to have ties to the state, I would believe. And so from that point of view, do you see some names as you're sitting out there? I'm going to ask for names if you've got some that you think would make sense for this job for President Robbins and Dave Hickey to speak with.
Yeah, I do think, recruiting in state, no matter where you're at, is always your first thought, because those players, not only you can find some really good players, you don't have to spend as much money traveling to go see them, but also they're going to have a sense of loyalty, Brad, to the school because they understand the state, they understand the town, they understand the university. So that's always where you first start. And as a head coach now, it's not just recruiting, it's not just practicing and having the right schemes. It's also going to be roster management. You got to be able to handle this with players all coming back. Nobody lost eligibility from this year. The transfer portal, you ought to be able to have the NIL legislation that's coming into effect. And so you better have a head coach that understands building the whole thing and having a staff that has the same kind of vision and can do that. And you got to work. Let's get honest with it. These coaches, and I was one of them, we get paid a lot of money to have success and build a right program. So you got to work your tail off each and every day to do that. And you owe that to the school, and your staff owes that to the school to work like that.
So when you have a kid like a Bijan Robinson who's at Sal Point, and you have a Lathan Ransom who's at Sal Point, the fact that the quarterback who's at Sal Point is already committed to the U of A and he's just a junior, okay, so there's one. Today, the top receiver at Chandler High decommitted from the U of A. Okay, so now you lose one. It goes back and forth. Do you have some names, Rich, that you think would make sense for this job?
I had thought about it. A lot of people have asked me, and they asked for my vision. I said, I think I should be the coach, but this is so far outside the box. I do think that somebody that doesn't know what their problems are, and they have several, again, I know more than most because, knowing the kids on the team, and they go in there kind of like, this is going to like another place or kind of blind or oblivious to what's happened there. it's going to take them several years to dig out of it. And these times, you know, as I do as coaches, you don't have several years. You got to build right away and fix it right away. I think their problems are fixable, but it's not going to be an overnight thing. And it's going to take longer if you bring somebody that does understand the problems that they have, doesn't understand Tucson, U of A, and the state of Arizona.
Do you want back in?
Sure, I do. I want to be a head coach again. And again, I'm, you know, the way it ended, I'm still a little upset because it was, from what I understand, what they said, it was based on false accusations, a false narrative, and it's never been corrected. In my opinion, that's what's got me upset is that they knew we were going to win games and we're going to win big. And so because of, to me, a bunch of false accusations, it cost me my job. It cost a lot of good coaches their jobs. It cost a lot of kids a successful career. So again, I'm bringing in my personal account of the deal, but it's upsetting to me that narrative has never been corrected. But you know, my son has stayed on the team. He's given everything that he's had. A lot of those upperclassmen have done the same thing. It bothered me that some of those upperclassmen left and went to other places, but I kind of understood because of where the program was going, they saw the same thing.
Have you talked to them? Or are you going to talk to them? Or are you just, I mean, you and I are sitting here talking. You sound like somebody coming right through my screen saying, Brad, I want this job again.
Well, I do. And I want to be a head coach again. And I've always said this. People talk about coaches with experience. And sometimes they say, well, you don't want to bring back a guy, you know, an older guy, what have you. But, you know, 30 years of experience, whatever it is, it's a true 30 years. I'm a better person, better coach than I was a year ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago. And it's like coaches say, I've got 20-some years experience, but if all they did was the same thing every year and didn't learn and grow, they got 1 year experience repeated 20 times. Mm-hmm. I like to think my 30 years was I've gotten better every year. You know, being in the SEC for a year helped. Being out for this past year and doing podcasts and studying, because all I did was study games every weekend. I didn't have a vested interest in who won or lost, so I was studying games every weekend and talked to a lot of people. So, I mean, I want to be a head coach again, but if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. But, you know, I'm still in Tucson, Arizona. You know, obviously my kids are still here. My family loves it here.
They wouldn't have to pay a moving fee. They wouldn't have to pay a moving company. Come on.
There's a lot of good coaches, you know, and you know some of them that are tied with me and others that I've met over the last few years that would love to come here and help get this right. And I think you could win a championship here, but you got to work. And you got to work really, really hard and have a plan coming in.
Before I get you out of here, I'm going to put your Hard Edge Football podcast work to work here. Auburn. So, as you said, you were in the SEC. You sit here in your office today. Who makes sense for Auburn? What type of coach makes sense for Auburn? Got to be an assistant under Nick. Got to be somebody on a national brand. Got to be a sitting head coach. What makes sense for Auburn?
What Auburn is, I mean, in the SEC, it's so important. You don't have to worry about stressing the importance of football in the SEC, right? But they're going to want to make a splash in recruiting, a splash scheme-wise. And, again, Alabama's the big guy up the road, right? So I could understand why they were going to go after Hugh Freeze because Hugh has beat Nick a couple times. He's had success everywhere he's having success at Liberty. So, I don't know this, I'm just saying – that's the kind of hire that they would make. Because to me, if you're going to, you know, Gus had a lot of success. If you're going to pay not just 20 some million for the head coach to go, but probably 30 million for the whole staff, if you're going to make that decision, they probably already know who they have on the line ready to come. It's going to be somebody that has, you know, like Hugh Freeze, that has had some success, not just where he's at, but also in the SEC.
Yeah, as we sit here today, there's published reports that Mario Cristobal's name has surfaced around Alabama.
Yeah, because he's been in the SEC, he's got the Nick Saban ties, and he's recruited very well at Oregon. But I would, you know, it might be Mario, but I would bet Hugh would be up near the top as well.
The Pac-12, Hard Edge Football Podcast with Rich Rodriguez. What's been your take this year on how they've tried to navigate through this season?
I think it's hard to really evaluate, Brad, all the teams, because are they playing with their full roster with all this pandemic stuff and guys sitting out for contact tracing, what have you? I don't know if you can make a true evaluation on all of them, but I didn't sense that the Pac-12 was overwhelming. just watching them, you know, athletically. I went to the USC-U of A game, which U of A could have won. And USC didn't look particularly fast. They didn't look explosive. Now, they've looked better since then. Mm-hmm. But I didn't think the Pac-12 as a whole is maybe as strong as a few of the other leagues.
What do you make out of Arizona State?
I think Herm's done a great job. They got some really good young players. It's hard to evaluate them, too, because they've only had three games, right?
I mean, right.
But I think they have a certain vibe that's going well, and it hurts me to say that the Sun Devils have taken that step and U of A hasn't. But, again, he's done a marvelous job. And here's a guy that hadn't coached for – he was too old, right, to do it, too. And he's brought in and hired the right people on his staff, and he's taken advantage of a great recruiting base there up in the Phoenix area.
I'll let you go off that. Really interesting to talk with you. And I hope you get your name back in the game. I really do. I mean, you could do this, and podcasts are great, but a coach is a coach. Coach shows up on the sidelines, and coach can do it, and you still have the juice. I've sat with coaches in situations like this. It's like, yep, they've checked out. They're done. They don't want to sit in living rooms. They don't want to grind. I got it. But you certainly don't have that about you today.
No, I love football. And, more than anything, I love young people. I mean, just going to see my son the other night after the game and his roommates, and he lives with a bunch of football players, and just sitting around and make sure they're okay mentally, and we were just telling stories and talking. I love that part of the thing as a coach, the influence you can have on young people. Every coach will tell you that's probably the top of the list of their enjoyment of being a football coach.
Stay well, stay safe. Thanks.
Thanks. Good catching up with you.
There's Rich Rod. Okay, so Hard Edge Football Podcast. Check it out. Hard Edge Football Podcast with Rich Rodriguez and his daughter. They're in episode number 11. They're sticking with it. They're just one of these fly-by nights that does two and give up. It's good stuff. We're back with more after this timeout. Thanks again to Rich Rodriguez. He was really, really good. Again, people are saying there's no way that he would be allowed back. And I don't know that. I just know that if you look at the options that are out there and you look at everything going on at the U of A, that they cannot afford a big name coach. Gus Malzahn's not coming to Tucson. The only way that stuff does happen is if there's a big cigar booster. There's a guy here in Paradise Valley, I'm not going to mention his name, who was the big cigar that got Kevin Sumlin done. For you ASU fans reveling in what happened Friday night, that's fine. Just remember that ASU pursued Kevin Sumlin. Just remember that. People like to forget the little things because it doesn't fit their narrative. Oh, you're just being negative. No, I'm being truthful. Hear what you want to hear. That's this day and age. Try and cover it up with PR. Well, you can't. Kevin Sumlin and the Sun Devils were doing the dance. And then there was all of you that didn't like the Herm hire. And then there's those of you that defended Todd to the end. And just, is the program in better shape today if we turn this into the Arizona State thing? Because there's that side of it. When you win 70-7, you are on top of the world and everything is great. When Rich put 56 on ASU in 2016, everybody wanted Todd gone. And eventually Todd was fired. But there are those that really like Todd, and there was Todd that did a lot on the fundraising end. And there are people inside the athletic department that felt like, Todd was all about making money for the department. And then there were others inside the athletic department that were happy to see him go, that they saw exactly what was going on. And then Herm comes in. I still believe that where Arizona State is right now, there's two things. Will Herm be here after Jaden Daniels leaves next year? And if you're one of those that says, oh, he's not leaving, then I get it. You're a fan. You wear your colors. And you're never going to hear the obvious. The obvious is he's gone after next year. Okay? Unless he gets injured or any of that stuff, there's no reason for guys to stay in school extra years. It does them no good. Football's a violent, violent game. And so if you stay in beyond what you should, rather than just get the clock ticking on your second contract in the NFL, which is the big payday, you're crazy to stick around in college. Crazy. And so you leave. You move on. If you're going to be a first or second round pick, you're gone. And then there's guys that are told that they're going to be first and second round picks, and they end up becoming Eno Benjamin. and it doesn't happen, even in the third or the fourth or the fifth or the sixth. Not being critical of Eno, it's just there's people out there that will tell, and these players have got to be careful as to who they're listening to, who is in their circle. Same thing with these coaches. There's somebody out there who's going to say, I am the guy that can get U of A turned around. Okay, good luck with that. I've heard that through the years. That's why I'm bigger on where Bobby Hurley is in the basketball program at Arizona State than I am on the football side. Herm's going to retire. And Antonio Pierce is looking at USC. They can deny it all day long. But that's where the eyes are. You know, when you make a big deal out of how you can recruit nationally, but here in your own backyard, there's high school coaches saying, yeah, they don't really care about us. And that's out there. That is out there. And you're hating on the program. No, I'm not. Just being truthful here. So I really feel good about where ASU basketball is. You can beat your rival 70-7 when they stink and the players have checked out. It doesn't mean the program's in great shape. It doesn't. Well, we almost beat USC. Yeah, it almost counts in horseshoes and hand grenades. This has been a really weird year. Yes, it has. But it's been weird for everybody. So, and then there's the side of why are we even playing a game against Oregon State? Because they need another game. Well, you know, kids could get sick. Well, yeah, I wish everybody felt that way. I wish everybody believed that COVID was real. I wish everybody would be embracing themselves rather than just trying somehow to navigate through this. And just say, we got to put our head down and make it happen. It's been crazy. What Mike Krzyzewski said last week is just dead flat right. When I see Arizona State play GCU yesterday, I'm very happy that game takes place. When I see that there are 350 students that were let in at GCU, Brian, what are you doing? What are you doing? Come on. You're really going to try to make a statement off that? If that's your leanings, okay. If that is the leanings of the university of, you know, we just don't really think this thing is that serious. And Arizona State shows up to play a game. What happened to the football team when they got on a plane and they ended up over at USC and they came back and they were wiped out for 3 weeks? It's great that ASU played GCU yesterday, but I was really disappointed in that. Really disappointed in fans being allowed in. There's just, it's one thing if it's like the San Diego State game, they showed a shot of Eddie House's father, or of Eddie House watching Jalen. And he's like in the corner with nobody within 10 rows of him or 10 sections of him. He's just in the corner all by himself. Okay, I got it. But if you want to have the Havocs in to do their thing just because you're playing ASU, that was not a smart decision, in my opinion. And I like what Bryce Drew is doing. I do. And this is good for college basketball in the Valley. It really is. You know, it was a great game yesterday afternoon. It's too bad it was on a Sunday afternoon, but they played it. And next year they'll play at ASU, and I hope the two sides can just walk through this and play every year. It will be something that we look forward to. And eventually, yeah, the NAU and U of A and ASU and GCU, all four of them playing down at the arena in downtown Phoenix. It would be terrific. Play it on a Friday night, play one game at 6, one game at 8:30, put them both on television, make it happen. It would be good for the basketball fans. And I'm one of those. So that happened over the weekend too. All right. Jared Nielsen is our chairman of the board. We are going to step aside and work on our TV show now on Fox Sports Arizona, Brad Sussmat Football AZ. Today is a big day with the company. It's one of my favorite days of the year. Today is. If you go to the website, you will see the all academic teams are out for fall. We care about GPA. There is not one mention of how many yards and how many tackles, all that stuff, which is fine and dandy. But if your GPA is not good, I just don't care. If you're one of these guys, look, if you're a daddy baller who wants to send me stuff about your kids or follow me on Twitter to look at my kids' deal, all I care about is the GPA to begin with, Okay, I don't care where he's ranked. I don't care what flag. I don't care what club team he's on. I don't care what sevens team he's on. I don't care about team pylon. I don't care about any of that nonsense. What is his GPA? What other interests does he or she have other than just the sport that they are playing? That's it. It's really not that hard. Lots of places that will tell you your kid's the greatest ever. I'm just like, it's fine. their GPA is awesome, we will publish it and we will celebrate it right alongside with you. Because they put that on their college application. It's very important. All right, we are done. Have yourself a great day.